Great, now my glasses are going to fog up.
Isn't it great to worship with God's people? Thursday night was incredible. I know there's a lot of bad news and bad things going on in our world, but man, when you gather with 7,000 other believers in a worship service, there's a lot of good things going on in the world, and I'm excited to see what the Lord is going to do in our lives this morning. Well, I have a deep theological question for you this morning to start. What does zucchini loaves, a washer dryer stand up set, eggs, and granola have in common? Zucchini loaf, washer and dryer set, eggs, and granola. You might not have no clue, because you might not have experienced those things in your life. But for my family, those things represent blessings that we have enjoyed as a family, as tenants from different landlords. And we knew we were pleasing the landlords when all of a sudden there's a zucchini loaf at our front door. Wow, we must be living in their home in a way that they're happy with. They're giving us this. And let me tell you, the stackable washer and dryer sure saved Jen and I a lot of time having to go down to the main laundry room in the apartment building that we were living in. And I know that my son-in-law and my son and daughter-in-law are enjoying the eggs and the granola from their landlord. Those are blessings that our family have enjoyed as tenants from different landlords. And this morning you will see in the passage we're going to look at, Moses is urging that new generation on the move. Please the landlord and enjoy his blessings. Please the landlord and enjoy his blessings. In chapter 11, where we'll look shortly, Moses is wrapping up his teachings about the general stipulations of the covenant relationship that the people of Israel enjoyed with the Lord. And there was one message that he was determined for them to never forget, and it's this: living in obedience to the Lord is the key to enjoying his blessing. Living in obedience to the Lord is the key to enjoying his blessing. Now, not everyone who listens gets the message the first time, right? And even if we do, we are prone to forget what we heard. If you're a parent, you know this is true. How many times have you told your children once, twice, three, maybe four times to do something, and you come home from work, and that something still isn't done, and you hold them accountable, and they say, "Oh, I forgot." How did you forget? I told you four times. Well, the reality is we are all prone to forget. And that's why constant reminders of what God asks of his people were important for the Israelites back then on the east side of the Jordan, but they're as equally important for us today sitting in this complex this morning. So what is it he is wanting to remind us of this morning? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And this, as I said, wraps up the teaching section on the general stipulations of their covenant relationship with the Lord. And next week, we're going to take a big jump from chapter 11, and Pastor Matt's going to teach us from chapter 27 as we begin to wrap up our series in Deuteronomy on the move, wisdom for the journey. In chapters 12 to 26, Moses goes into all the very detailed specifics of the stipulations. And I encourage you to read those as you have time. But we just don't have time in our calendar to be able to cover all those. So this wraps up the section on the general stipulations. 12 to 26 goes over the specific stipulations. And Pastor Matt will take us into chapter 27 next week. So this morning, we're going to look through chapter 11, verses 2 to 32. And we're going to do it in chunks. So if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to start with me in verse 2. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country. What he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the wilderness until you arrived at this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. but it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. Observe, therefore, all the commands I'm giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But in the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of, it is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. There's a verse right there why I believe it's okay biblically to eat meat. Because they weren't eating grass. Their cattle were going to eat grass, and they were going to eat and be satisfied. So praise the Lord for that. So from this passage this morning, we're going to go in different sections, but what I want us to see is three urgent reminders related to pleasing the landlord so that we might enjoy his blessing. And the first one is this. Remember what you already know about the landlord. You see, if we're not careful, it's easy for us to get so preoccupied with making sure that everyone else is following the Lord that we can neglect to watch how we are personally responding to the Lord our God based on what we have seen and experienced firsthand about him. Stop looking around. Look up and look inward. In verses 2 to 12 of the section I just read, Moses made it very clear to the generation he was speaking to that they were going to be held accountable to live a certain way based on their firsthand encounters with the Lord their God. And he reminds them in verse 2 and verse 6 that it was not their children that he was speaking to, it was to them. It was not your children who saw, experienced the discipline and the signs the Lord performed in Egypt, or what he had done for them in the wilderness until they arrived at this place where they're at on the east side of the Jordan. He says to them in verse 2 to 4, they did not see firsthand his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country. What he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them, a destruction from which Egypt had not recovered to that day 40 years later. Nor had their children seen his faithful provision for them in the wilderness, along with his judgment, in particular on two men mentioned in verse 6. Did you catch that? Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. Just think about that for a second. We were talking about this last night around the dinner table, and we were realizing some of us hadn't necessarily weren't familiar with the story. And I said, let's read it from Numbers chapter 16. Absolutely incredible. Can you imagine if in our service this morning, these middle sections knowingly had been disobeying the Lord and started a revolt against the leadership, and all of a sudden, whoop, this whole section of the congregation is gone. Wow. Would that ever change how we obey the Lord? Isn't that incredible? I wrote in my notes, do you think you would live a little more carefully in terms of obeying the Lord after witnessing that with your own eyes? But Moses says to them in verse 7, it wasn't your children, but it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. Church family, our firsthand past experiences with the Lord should greatly influence how we commit to living with him presently and with him in the future. And in verse 8, Moses outlines for them what the proper response should be in light of their encounters with the Lord. He says, observe therefore all the commands I'm giving you today, You see, our firsthand knowledge and our firsthand encounters with the Lord should motivate us to live in obedience to Him. And if they do what pleases the Lord God, Moses tells them they will enjoy His blessing and His favor. And they will enjoy those in their lives. In verse 8, he says, observe therefore all the commands I'm giving you today in light of what you already know about the land, Lord, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Verse 9, and so that you may live long in the land the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. A land so much better than anything they experienced or their parents had experienced in Egypt. Even though their parents complained when they were in the wilderness to go back to Egypt. In Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 and 3, we read about their parents. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. But Moses tells this new generation in verse 10, the land you are about to enter, to take over, is not like the land of Egypt, even as much as your parents thought that land was great. No, he tells them, there your parents had to plant seeds in the ground and water it themselves by foot, drawing water from the Nile. There, your parents' food supply depended entirely on human effort. But the promised land you are about to cross the Jordan to take possession of is a land, he says, made up of mountains and valleys. Unlike the land of Egypt, it is irrigated by God Almighty. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't you, if you were a farmer, rather than having to pedal by foot and draw water from the Nile that would, when it would overflow, would go into these canals, and that's where they would get their water from? Or would you rather just sit there and say, Lord, irrigate the land? This is what Moses is telling them. He says, this is a land like you have not experienced. It drinks rain from heaven. There the Lord will provide irrigation in the form of rainfall that will flow down the sides of the mountains and the hills and flow through the valleys. And he says in verse 12, it is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. The land they were about to go and possess, God owned. God owned the promised land. Listen to what he said in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 23. The land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine. You reside in my land as foreigners and strangers. And last week we read in chapter 10, verse 14, to the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens. The earth, where you and I live, and everything in it belongs to the Lord. He truly was their landlord. And he truly is our landlord. And one day we will live with him on the new land, the new earth, in his presence forever. If you've rented before, I trust that you had enough of a conscience in you that you wanted to take care of the apartment you were renting or the basement suite, whatever the situation was, because you knew that it didn't belong to you. It belonged to the landlord. And so you lived in a certain way, understanding where you were living and who it belonged to. Folks, we need to start thinking this way about where we live on this earth. It belongs to the Lord. He's the landlord. We are privileged to live on this earth. And we are to live in a certain way in response to what we know already about the landlord. And if that generation wanted to experience the blessing of possessing the land, remaining in it, and enjoying it, they had to obey the commands of the Lord. Why? Because he is the landlord. He owns the land. Just as the Lord had chosen Israel out of all the peoples on earth, so he chose the land of Canaan from all the territories of the earth. And the emphasis on the land is seen from the very beginning of God's covenant and promise that he made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And this generation on the brink of taking possession of the promised land would enjoy the blessing of inheriting that land and seeing with their own eyes and experiencing with their own lives the continued provision from the Lord their God if they faithfully obeyed the commands he was giving them. And in particular, to love the Lord their God and to serve him, not half-heartedly, but with all their heart and with all their soul. And if they did that, the Lord said through Moses, verse 14, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I'll provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. As one author correctly said, God was not buying his people's obedience. He was going to reward their faith and teach them the joys of knowing and serving him obediently. So I evaluated my own life this week, and I ask you this morning, have you seen the Lord do great things with your own eyes? Do you recognize that even his discipline is a great thing because it's actually for our own good? And does your personal commitment to faithfully obeying the commands of the Lord reflect that you have heard and you get the message? Church family, we need to be alert. We need to be praying. We need to be asking the Holy Spirit to give us spiritual sight and understanding so that we don't miss seeing and participating in the great things the Lord is doing in our city, in our region, in our country, and in the world as it relates to his kingdom and his mission. Just this past week, here is what I have seen and experienced and seen the great acts of God with my own eyes. Last Sunday, by God's grace, we saw 301 in the afternoon filled with our Haitian brothers and sisters as we launched a new church plant. And during that service, I saw with my own eyes, I participated in commissioning a new pastor to Calvary Baptist Church. And Brother Joseph, we are so pleased that God has called you to be a part of our pastoral team here at Calvary Baptist Church. That was so exciting to watch that last week. And 2 weeks ago Monday, Pastor Rick and I got invited to go to the swearing-in ceremony of the new MP for Durham Region. And I saw with my own eyes, I heard with my own ears, sitting in the inner place of the Parliament Hill, a room filled, worship going up to God and singing, to God be the glory, great things he has done. I saw with my own eyes, I heard with my own ears, a pastor get up in the middle of Parliament at a swearing-in ceremony of our secular lost country and declare the gospel. And that this MP knows Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And the Holy Spirit living in him will give him wisdom to govern well. And I was sitting there going, this is unbelievable. But God is on the move. He's on the move. And that's why I felt prompted in the fall to do a series, Mission Possible. And that's why I believe he led me to the book of Deuteronomy. God is on the move. And church family, we need to wake up. We need to be alert. We need to pray. We need to have our spiritual eyes open. We don't need to get discouraged about everything going on. God is on the move. His mission to seek and save the lost is still possible. And we need to see and experience with our own eyes what he is doing. And let's not miss that. Amen? Let's continue. Verse 16. Be careful or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain and the ground will yield no produce and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord has given you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your heads and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that heavens are above the earth. If you carefully observe all these commands that I'm giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. What does the Lord want us to remember today? First of all, remember what you already know about the landlord. But secondly, remember to model and teach to the next generation how to please the landlord. You know, whenever life is good and I am full and I'm satisfied, there's a danger and a tendency in me to kind of take the foot off the pedal spiritually a little bit, to sit back and perhaps not be as intentional as I normally would be in terms of prioritizing, investing in my covenant relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ. And Moses had warned this generation earlier in chapter 8 about this tendency. Do you remember what he said? Chapter 8 and verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And now here, in verse 15 and verse 16, he is warning them of the same thing. Be careful when you eat or unsatisfied, or you'll be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. The New American Standard Translation puts the warning this way: beware that your hearts are not deceived, and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them. Brothers and sisters, do not be deceived. If we are not careful, even in seasons of blessing, we can be enticed to turn away from total allegiance to the Lord. You see, the problem for that generation about to be on the move was not God. It was not going to be the land. It was going to be their hearts. And if they did not heed this warning and were not careful to guard their hearts from being enticed to give their allegiance and worship to other gods, then rather than experiencing the blessing of the landlord, they would experience his anger against them, as we read in verse 17. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. If obedience brings blessing in the framework of a covenant relationship, then disobedience brings the exact opposite. And the ultimate display of loyalty to our Lord is to worship and give our allegiance to other gods. And the cost of such disloyalty would be the reversal of the blessings Moses was sharing with this generation. And since their idolatry would pollute the land, God, their landlord, would have every right to evict them from the land and cleanse it. And we know from Scripture that's exactly what he did when he sent them into captivity in Babylon and Assyria. So what is the secret for them? What is the secret for us to avoid having our hearts turn away from the Lord to worship other gods? The secret is in verse 18. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Fix these words of mine. The greatest deterrence from committing idolatry is holding fast to, observing, and as we read today, fixing God's word in our hearts and minds. God's word was the treasure that he had given exclusively to Israel and to no other nation. It was to govern their lives, and it was to visibly permeate every area of their lives. Did you read in verse 18? Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, illustrating that God's word was to continually be meditated upon, and it was to direct their lives and how they conducted themselves. And we know later in Jewish history, the phrase to tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads was taken literally. And you've seen it with Orthodox Jews overseas and in New York, and even if you've been in Toronto. They took this literally, and people tied little boxes called phylacteries to their hands and to their foreheads containing these commands, the Shema. Remember what we talked about a while ago? The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It was on boxes. They put it on boxes in their hand and on their forehead. And in verse 20, we see they were to write these commands on the doorframes of their houses and their gates to illustrate the commitment as a household to the Lord their God. I was so pleased yesterday. Jason and Regan sent us a picture of a new sign they bought at Hobby Lobby. Yes, I was trying to think, what's the place Christians spend too much money in? Hobby Lobby, down in the States. And you can get great deals, especially if there's little dents or scratches. And so they bought a sign, fixed up, and sent us a picture. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I can't tell you, as a dad, that was one of the greatest pictures they could have sent me. What a gift. Praise God, they get the message. Sadly, even to this day, many people, not just Orthodox Jews, still practice religious rituals, but fail to receive God's word in their hearts. And perhaps if we were, as we were challenged last week, this morning, to circumcise our own hearts, we would see that we have been guilty of doing the same thing. Isn't it just easier to wear a gold cross than to actually bear Christ's cross daily in our lives? To be my disciple, Jesus says, you have to deny yourself. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. Isn't it easier to just hang scripture texts in the walls of our homes, which is a good thing, but not a substitute to actually hiding God's word in our hearts? We must remember relationship always supersedes ritual. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And as we learned last week, if we love the Lord and hold fast to him, we will want to know his word and obey it unashamedly in every area of our lives. And as we saw in verse 19, with the blessing of being given God's word, if you're here this morning, you're a child of God, you have been gifted with God's word. And with that comes a great expectation and responsibility to share it diligently, intentionally, continually with the next generation. Remember the great commission the Lord gave the disciples before he ascended? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptize them, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded. Disciple making starts in our homes. And if it's not going on in our homes, church family, we are not going to do it well as a church in the community. It starts in our homes. Teaching one another the commands of Christ should be a natural part of the rhythm and fabric of your home. So I ask you this morning, how normal are conversations about God, his word, and our responsibility to obey them in your home? Moses told that generation they should be talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. In our context today, we don't necessarily do a lot of walking together as a family. So maybe it's this: talk about them at mealtime. Talk about them during drive, commute time, bedtime, and morning time. The point is, whatever the rhythm of your home is, leverage it. Leverage it for the most important purposes of teaching one another everything that he has commanded us. You see, the great things the Lord had done for that generation on the east side of the Jordan were to be put before the eyes of their children by them, their parents. And the scripture says if they carefully observed all the commands he was giving them to follow, to love the Lord their God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him, then we read in verse 23, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. What is part of our responsibility of modeling and teaching the next generation how to please the landlord? Stepping out in faith. Stepping out in faith was a critical part of how the next generation would see and experience and enjoy firsthand the blessings of the landlord. This is what God commanded Abraham to do, as well as Joshua. You see, you don't claim the land by studying the map and dreaming up of conquest. You claim the land by stepping out in faith, believing God's word, and depending on his faithfulness. Amen? Listen to what Hudson Taylor, the founder of China Inland Mission, now known as Overseas Missionary Fellowship, said. It's not by striving after faith, but by resting in the faithful one. Are you resting in the faithful one? Are you living carefully or recklessly? Are you daily eating and being satisfied by meditating on the Word of God? Or are you spiritually starving today? And as a result, you find yourself being enticed to give the best of your time, the best of your resources, the best of your talents to other gods. Here's a tough question to answer. And how would your family answer that question based on what you model and teach them? Remember what you already know about the landlord. Remember to model and to teach the next generation how to please the landlord. And then finally, turn with me to verse 26. And we'll read through verse 32. See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. And God's word today is being set before us. A blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I commanded you today by following other gods, which you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land you are entering to possess, you are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessings and on Mount Ebal the curses. As you know, these mountains are across the Jordan westward toward the setting sun near the great trees of Moreh, in the territory of those Canaanites living in the Arabah in the vicinity of Gilgal. You are about to cross the Jordan to enter and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you. When you have taken it over and are living there, be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws I'm setting before you today. On our journey as God's people, we must remember what we already know about the Lord from our firsthand encounters. We must remember to model and teach the next generation how to please the landlord. But thirdly, we must remember the conditions of the landlord-tenant covenant. And the first condition we saw in verse 26 and 7 is if they obeyed the commands of the Lord their God, which Moses was giving to them, they would enjoy the blessing of the Lord their God. But in verse 28, we see the second condition. If they disobeyed the commands of the Lord their God, which Moses was giving them, they would experience a curse, adversity. Instead of experiencing his divine favor, they would experience his judgment. Instead of abundant rain in its season, drought. Instead of fruit, infertility. Instead of abundant life, and ultimately, death and divorce from the land. You see, covenant blessings are always conditional, even though the covenant relationship itself is not. If you want to experience the blessing of the Lord in your life, it requires you to serve Him obediently with all your heart and with all your soul. And so set before them was a choice to obey God and enjoy His blessing or disobey Him and experience His discipline. Now, you would think that to make that decision would be a no-brainer. That's pretty easy. I'm going to decide to obey and enjoy the land. But as you and I know, we all disobeyed our parents when we were children, knowing full well what the consequences of our disobedience would be. So we as children of God are prone to let our hearts wander, disobey God, and not live in accordance with His will. And living that way in disobedience to the Lord reveals a lack of fear of the Lord, which we talked about last week. But not only that, it reveals a lack of understanding. To somehow think that God doesn't take seriously our disobedience, therefore we will escape His discipline. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews chapter 12 verses 5 and 6 writes. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastens everyone He accepts as His son. You know what's awesome about our God, as we sang this morning? God mercifully tells us the results of our sinful choices ahead of time. Therefore, we cannot deflect responsibility when we make the wrong choice. The result is on us. And Moses wanted that generation to grasp that their future victories that are just ahead of them depended on their present decision to determine in their hearts to love the Lord their God and obey his word. Because in a short time, they were going to be on the battlefield in the promised land. And only the help of the Lord would give them the victory over their enemies. And so to drive home the importance of obedience and trust in the Lord their God and not forgetting the message he was giving them that day, Moses gave them some interesting instructions in verse 29 and 30 regarding a ceremony they were to carry out when they entered the promised land. A ceremony, listen, intended to remind them of the blessing of obedience and the curse of disobedience. And it involved dividing up the tribes that made up the nation. Once you get into the promised land, divide the tribes up. Half are going to go on this mountain, Mount Gerizim. Half are going to go on this mountain, Mount Ebal. And there they were to proclaim audibly and respond in agreement to the blessing and the curse they were being taught this day by Moses. And as I studied this week, the valley in between created this incredible amphitheater type situation. And so they would say, here's the blessing of the Lord. If we obey him fully, he will send rain, the early rains, the latter rains. There will be grass to grow. We will be full and satisfied. And everyone say, amen. And then here are the curses. And then everyone say, amen. It was to remind them to not forget. And what's interesting is Mount Gerizim, I've never been there, but in studying it this week, it's a mountain with gentler slopes. Its terrain is much greener. It's fruitful. And then if you go to Mount Ebal, it's much more jagged. Much more rocks are exposed there. It's not fertile land. Not much grows there. And what a visual reminder for that generation when they entered the promised land. The difference, even when you look at the mountains, between a blessed life and a cursed life. Between an obedient life and a disobedient life. Spiritually speaking, us as God's children today also live between two mounts. Mount Calvary, where Jesus died for us, and the Mount of Olives, to which he will return one day. Unlike the Israelites, God hasn't written the old covenant law in stones and warned us about curses. Rather, he has written his new covenant on our hearts and blessed us in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1 says there, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? However, just because we are under grace and not under the law doesn't mean that we have a license to sin so that grace may increase. God's principles never change. And one of those principles is he blesses his children when they obey, and he chastens them when they disobey. Romans chapter 11 tells us we as Gentiles have been grafted into the promises to Israel and have been blessed with every blessing in Christ, and have obtained a spiritual inheritance as God's own possession to the praise of his glory. And proof of that, our covenant commitment, is undivided devotion to Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, demonstrated in a life of obedience to him and his word. As was the case for the Israelites that day on the east side of the Jordan, the same applies to us this morning, brothers and sisters. Every day is a day of decision. Every day, every moment of every day is a day of decision. The blessings associated with the covenant are not to be taken for granted or viewed as automatic rights. And the covenant established by Christ involves a special relationship that we enjoy with him, which demands constant investment of our energy and our devotion. And I commend you this morning for making it a priority to publicly demonstrate your allegiance to Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, by being here this morning and not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together. So I ask you this morning, are you experiencing the Lord's blessing through faithful, loving obedience to his commands? Or are you experiencing his discipline because you're choosing instant gratification over God's good plan for your life? When you're confronted with a choice between blessing or curse, do you pause and think through the long-term ramifications of your decision? Remember what you already know about the landlord. Remember to model and teach for the next generation how to please the landlord and remember the conditions of the landlord-tenant covenant. So what does he want us to remember today? Using the words of Moses that day, be sure, brothers and sisters, that you obey all the decrees and laws I'm setting before you today. Please the landlord and enjoy his blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you allow us to be in relationship with you through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I am so thankful that you are my Lord. And I thank you so much for the words you gave Moses that day to share with your people so many years ago on the east side of the Jordan that are so applicable for us today. God, change our perspective. Help us to recognize that you own everything, the heavens, the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. I pray that you would cause in our lives adjustments that need to be made, recognizing that you are our landlord. God, I pray, just as the choice was set before that generation of your children and has been set before us today, I pray that we would be individuals in a church that choose blessing through obedience. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning who you are lovingly disciplining, God, I pray that you'd help them to realize that you are waiting with open arms. If they confess their sins, you are faithful and just. You will forgive them and cleanse them of all unrighteousness. So God, I ask that you would continue your loving discipline in our lives. It's for our own good because it brings us back in line with how you want us to live. Thank you for your word this morning. You are an awesome God, and we will take your word seriously. In Jesus' name, amen. So church family, as we go out this week, let's live lives that please the landlord and enjoy his blessings. Fix these ancient words. Hold fast to them. Observe them by keeping them. Fix them in your hearts and in your minds so that this week your heart will not be enticed to worship other gods. May the Lord continue to change us as individuals, change us as a church family through his ancient words and the work of the Holy Spirit and our willingness to apply them in our lives. Amen. May God bless you. Have a great week.